Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Roger Paris, Deputy Commissioner for Health, Mental Health, and Forensic Services for the New York City Department of Correction. Under Paris's leadership, DOC health care services are provided to over 100,000 inmates admitted annually at 9 different jails and 2 hospital prison wards. During his 23-year career with the department, Paris has also been responsible for developing and managing substance abuse services, social service, inmate grievance, ministerial services, correction industries, suicide prevention, and discharge planning programs. Mr. Paris's career focused on enhancing services and developing new programs, which include the implementation of the Brad H. Mental Health Discharge Planning Program, establishing over 800 beds dedicated to mental health in the jails, over 80 acute care forensic beds in 2 different hospitals, 1,548-bed residential substance abuse program, 140-bed respiratory isolation infirmary, a 15-bed nursery for mothers and their babies, and 7 station renal dialysis units. Today he will be speaking with us about the city's reentry program for offenders with mental health problems. Welcome to today's live talk, Mr. Paris.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you. I wanted to start first with one of the main reasons we're having you on today, which is to discuss the reentry services that the New York City Department of Correction has been involved in creating. And they came about following a case called Brad H. So I was hoping you could talk a little bit about, you know, what the Brad H. case was and some of the things that the department had to do as a result of the case.
Sure. The Brad H. lawsuit was brought by the Urban Justice Center against the City of New York on behalf of mentally ill inmates who were returning to the community generally without an individual discharge plan. In January of 2003, the city signed a Brad H. settlement agreement. And as a result of that settlement agreement, the class members were defined as inmates on psychotropic medication for their mental illness, or those inmates who were assessed by mental health as in need of mental health treatment. So those were the two main categories to become a class member under Brad H. I want to stress, though, that the lawsuit and the settlement really were really brought against the city, which involved at least 3 or 4 other agencies to be involved to resolve the and come into compliance with the settlement. And those agencies are the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Department of Homeless Services, Human Resources Administration as the main ones, and Health and Hospitals Corporation, but to a lesser degree, they run our municipal hospitals. So I just wanted to make sure to set it right that it's not just the City Department of Correction that was sued, it was the City of New York.
And as a result of this, as you said, there was a settlement, and there was a reentry program that was been developed as a result of that. So can you talk a little bit about the program?
Sure. First, as a result of the settlement, two court-appointed monitors were hired, and they work in our jails. They have total access to our jails, total access to all the mental health records. They developed 60 performance indicators, which we're held to, both the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and the Department of Correction. There are quarterly reports published by them, which basically is a how are we doing every quarter, right? And in terms of the lawsuit really was about individualized assessments for mentally ill inmates who are going to go back to the community, medication. They get to a 7-day carry medication on discharge and a 3 other prescriptions to keep filling their medication needs. Obviously, there's case management services, entitlements such as Medicaid, public assistance, food stamps, appropriate housing, transportation, and last but not least, post-release follow-up to assess appropriate housing and continuity of care. Those are just the highlights of the discharge planning services that are required under the settlement. And I'm going to get into it in more detail later on in our discussion.
Okay. Well, just before we move on in that discussion, can you just give our listeners an idea of how many offenders are kind of are part of this.
Sure. The
Okay.
Department of Correction has over 100,000, New York City Department of Correction has over 100,000 admissions a year. We have an average daily population of about 13,600. And of that 13,600 today, there are 3,430 Brad H inmates. And so I think it's fair to say we're larger than any state hospital.
Wow.
It's a tremendous number of people have been identified as requiring mental health treatment, and a significant number of those inmates will be released back to the community.
How would you say the services for offenders, the reentry services for offenders with mental health problems, differ from reentry services for offenders who don't have mental health problems?
Yeah, I think that the major difference obviously is there. A lot of clinical issues with a discharge plan for the mentally ill. But I think more importantly is when we start looking at the entitlements. What's happened in terms of the entitlements is that we are able now, because we've had an acceptance for the Human Resources Administration, they've agreed to accept, process, and determine eligibility status of Medicaid and public assistance applications while the class member is still incarcerated. So unlike you have to be released, go down to the office, and then start the process, we're able now, the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene discharge planners are able to get that application in, to get it processed, and so upon release, they're able to start receiving their benefits right away.
If just a note to our audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Roger Paris of the New York City Department of Correction about mental health reentry services. The DOC has been working with the city's Department of Health in this reentry endeavor, and there's a longstanding relationship already there, but I was wondering if you could talk about how that relationship has been enhanced.
Sure. Well, by city charter, the New York City Department of Health is responsible to provide the health care services to all of our inmates. And so we have a longstanding relationship with the Department of Health. They run the health care services in the jails. And so adding on discharge planners was, for us, a little frightening. They hired 70 discharge planners and said to the Department of Correction, now let's find the space for them and let's get the inmates to them. But, we've had a long-standing relationship, a good one. Commissioner Frieden and Commissioner Horn work very well together, and I think that's part of why we've been so successful at what we do.
Now, you were talking a little bit earlier about the program. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about, what happens with these offenders now. How does that differ a little
Sure.
bit?
Sure. If I could just walk through the
Sure.
process with you, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, the service delivery model requires that a mental health staff person in the jail identify the Brad H. class members, develop a treatment plan, and work with the discharge planners who work for DOH to prepare a discharge plan and a aftercare placement. Once they've identified a Brad H. class member, the Department of Correction has put an M next to their inmate booking case number so that we can track them and know who they are as they move through our system. The discharge planners on a daily basis complete and submit Medicaid and public assistance applications while the inmate is with us. Obviously, they complete an immediate needs assessment. And in terms of aftercare, they make appointments or referrals to the community. They forward information to those programs. They actually also contact the Department of Homeless Services and let them know that this person is part of the program, so when they do get to the shelters, they can be routed to a program shelter where they can receive their medication and continue to receive mental health treatment. So I think it's pretty good, and I think that in addition to that, for the seriously and persistently mentally ill, they provide housing over and above the shelter. They look for housing placements as well. And those SPMEs, as we like to call them, seriously, persistently mentally ill, the city sentence ones are picked up by the Department of Health and Mental Health 5 days a week, both the women and the men, and taken either home or to a mental health program.
I imagine there are many challenges to implementing this. I was just wondering if you could talk about what some of those challenges have been, and if there are any lessons that, as you've been implementing this, that you might pass on to other agencies that are looking into this kind of a program.
Sure. I think the first challenge was realizing that after this lawsuit was settled, the number of agencies that were going to have to collaborate and coordinate to make this happen. In our case, it was obviously us, the Department of Correction, the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, Department of Homeless Services, Health and Hospitals Corporation, Human HRA, and also OMB. You know, they had to foot the bill, you know, for this. And New York City, the Mayor's Office of Operations also helps to, you know, to coordinate these sort of big challenges that you have after a lawsuit such as Brad H. I think for us at the Department of Correction, we were required to do a lot of MIS programming. And so I think one of the challenges that we found was being able to set up a Brad H database for the Department of Health to be able to do daily transfers of inmate information. Obviously, I talked a little bit earlier about creating in our inmate information system a M marker on the booking case number so we could track them. And we've put together various automated reports which both the Department of Correction and the Department of Health can pull both on a daily, monthly, or an immediate basis to find out where we are with the Brad H inmates. We even track class members through an automated clinic logbook as proof of service provision. So if anyone were to say, you know, we don't believe they were seen in the clinic, we actually scan the inmate's ID card when they get to the clinic, and so we know what service they're there for. So we're able to prove that the inmate actually has been seen.
Wow.
So, and then I think one of the big challenges, as most people who run jails and prisons know, is space. Space is a commodity that's very limited, and we have to find you know, space to accommodate 70 discharge planning staff, which was, and then to be able to get the escort staff and not negatively affect our clinic operation to bring these additional inmates down for the discharge planning sessions, and obviously the culture change, you know, as well.
Sure.
You know, this was, you know, we really were geared up and ramped up to do this, and so I think both for us and the Department of Health, you know, there were many challenges. Obviously, in DOH, they had to restructure their staffing. They had to negotiate with unions, and, you know, they had to figure out, you know, what kind of information they could share with us because it was a multi-agency sharing of data. And, you know, all of that was under some strict timelines that we had to, you know, get the job done. And I think we've done an excellent job at that.
Well, it sounds like it was a challenging but successful program endeavor, and we very much thank you for talking with us today about it. This concludes today's live talk, and again, thank you to Roger Paris of the New York City Department of Correction for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thanks also to our audience for tuning in, and to learn more on correctional health care issues, be sure to read this month's articles, special articles on healthcare on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.